بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 28th session. Reading from فتح القوي المتين في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. The explanation of the 50 hadith of الإمام النووي, الإمام ابن رجب رحمه الله, with a commentary وهو الشيخ العلام عبد المحسن العباد البدر حفظه الله. The hadith that we're going to be taking tonight is hadith number 24. And before we do that, we're going to look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 27. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 23. The main topic or subject of hadith number 23. Summarize. Difficult. Okay, no problem. Some of it.
That the Prophet ﷺ had. Told the companions that the.
Okay, one of the main topics of this hadith, at-tuhur, shatr al-iman. The tuhur is half of iman. Naam.
2 points. Number one, important. It focused on important acts of worship.
Okay, this hadith focused on important acts of worship, fundamental usul from Islam. Naam.
And the second one is that a person, through focusing on these and other acts of worship, is either going to save himself or by not focusing on it, he's going to destroy himself.
And the person who focuses on these fundamentals of Islam, by means of that, he's going to save himself. And by not attending, addressing, yani fulfilling those things, they're going to destroy themselves. Yani in the end of it all, a person either saves himself from disgrace in this world and punishment in the next life, and he saves himself from that by doing these things, yani by adhering to these things, or yani by neglecting them, he becomes the cause of his own destruction, yani punishment, yani humiliation in this world and punishment in the hereafter. Yani that's a good summary of it. JazakAllah khair. There was a lot of topics in this hadith, right? So that's a good summary of it. Some of the most important fundamentals of Islam, foundations of Islam, the virtues of Islam, are compiled in this hadith. And the point is, as he said, yani that a person, yani address these things, attend to these things, fulfill these things in order to save theirself. Yani salat, zakat, naam, huh? Remembering Allah, praising and glorifying Allah, attending, giving inayah, yani attention to the Quran. And one of the key things that helps a person to be successful in this world, as-sabr. Naam, as-sabr, diyah. Tayyib, second question, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found. Naam.
Abi Malik. Al-Harith bin Asim al-Ashari.
Naam.
Radiallahu anhu. And it is in our Muslim.
And the collector of this hadith is Al-Imam Muslim. And as we mentioned, as the Shaykh mentioned in the past, more than one time, that Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah often will give some extra information about the narrator that may not originally be in the isnad of the hadith. So he mentioned that his kunya is Abu Malik, and he mentioned that he is Al-Ash'ari. His name is Al-Harith ibn Asim. His kunya is Abu Malik radiyallahu anhu. Naam. Question number three. Summarize the author's two explanations of a tuhur. Summarize the author's two explanations of tuhur, purification, in hadith number 23 under discussion. Naam.
The physical and spiritual.
Okay, physical purification and spiritual purification. Yani, this is a good summary. The spiritual purification is what? That a person purifies themselves by abandoning a shirk and sins and acts of disobedience and so on. And the physical purification is that a person purifies themselves, physical purification, for the performance of salah. And in that explanation, the Shaykh said that Iman in At-Tuhur, Shatr al-Iman, he said Iman is Salat. Naam. The fourth question, summarize the author's explanation. Summarize the author's explanation. The following expressions in this hadith. Al-Mizan, Al-Tasbih, and Al-Tahmid. Al-Mizan, he said, in summary, is the Mizan al-Amal. Yani, it's the Mizan in which the deeds, the actions of the people, good or bad, are going to be weighed. Al-Tasbih, or Tahmid, did I say first? Tahmid. Tasbih, naam. Tasbih?
It is declaring Allah free from all defects.
Naam, to declare Allah, to recognize, to acknowledge that Allah is free from every defect, every shortcoming. Naam. And tahmid?
Kamal.
Huh? Kamal, yani describing Allah, wasfullah, yani bil kamal, with sifat al kamal. You're describing Allah with every characteristic of perfection. Question number five, the nur of salat, as the Shaykh mentioned, includes different types of nur. From amongst those he mentioned, nur of the heart. And he also mentioned the nur in the face. And he also mentioned the nur
right
of al-hidayah, right guidance. And then finally he said the nur, yawm al-qiyamah. Naam. Question number six, a sadaqa, charity, is a burhan, a proof of what? Explain briefly. It's a proof of what? Sadaqah is a burhan. It's a proof of what? Naam. Naam.
Of the belief.
Of the belief. Yani, it's a proof of a person's iman. It's a proof of a person's iman and of their sidq, of their sincerity. And the Shaykh, yani, we said brief. Yani, we're trying to be brief in these explanations, but he said, because, how is it a proof? Because the person who, yani, fights against and resists and overcomes their greed, their stinginess, and then gives sadaqah, that's a proof of their iman. That's a proof of their iman. And he also said that the munafiq might perform prayer, riyan, yani just for people to see him, but he's not going to give sadaqah because his greed will not allow that. Question number seven. Mention three types of sabr, patience, mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, in explaining as-sabr, diyah. Patience is radiance. Three types of sabr, he mentioned one.
Allah's obedience.
Yani, as sabr in reference to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, controlling oneself, making yani oneself to fulfill the things that Allah has commanded us with. Second type of sabr is in reference to
refraining from Allah's prohibition.
Refraining from what Allah has prohibited. Yani, refraining from sin, from acts of disobedience. Yani, controlling oneself, even though the nafs might be inclined to that, but to control oneself from it. Now, and the third type, he said, the qadr of Allah, the aqdar Allah, al-mu'limah, yani those things that Allah had decreed that we are not any comfortable with, that we are not pleased with, that might be painful, that might be difficult for us, the things, the decrees that, yani calamities, afflictions, yani that a person has patience with, that mean that they don't express displeasure or impatience or yani contest Allah's decree. Naam. Yeah, he said that sabdiya, the reason why it's given this description is because like the sun, it contains light, yani which yani you benefit from, and it also contains heat, which may make people uncomfortable. And likewise, being patient causes discomfort. Yani being patient with things that are difficult. Naam. Jazakallahu khair. Good reminder. Now, question number eight. List the four things which the author says must be fulfilled for the Qur'an to be a hujjah, proof for you. Four things that a person must do, yani, in reference to that which is obligatory upon us and what we have been commanded within the Qur'an. He mentioned four things. Now, righteous deeds. More specifically, he said, okay, first he said, and we come to that, he said, tasdeeq al-akhbar, that a person testifies to the truthfulness of what we have been informed of in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is
what Allah has commanded.
Yeah, righteous deeds, doing, fulfilling the commands that Allah has commanded us with, and the opposite, abstaining, avoiding, yani, refraining from that which Allah has prohibited. And then he said, reciting the Quran correctly. Yani reciting the Quran with in the way that it's supposed to be, yani with its rights. Reciting it with its rights. Question number 9, I mentioned 6 of the 10 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. And some of them. He mentioned 10 things. The first thing that he mentioned is from the first point of the hadith. Now, the excellence of tuhur. The second thing he mentioned is from the second thing that he mentioned in the hadith. Yani, Alhamdulillah, tamla'u al-mizan. Wa subhanallah, walhamdulillah, tamla'ani, aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. He said there what? The excellence of at-tasbih wa tahmid. Yani, of praising Allah and also declaring Allah to be free from any imperfections. The third thing that he mentioned was in reference to that statement in the hadith. Affirmation of the mizan. Yani that these deeds would be weighed. They would be weighed. Yani, and that these deeds would weigh heavily in the mizan. So this is a proof, an affirmation, a confirmation of the mizan. Then he mentioned those virtuous deeds, that those yani usul and qawaid of Islam that a person has to attend to. He mentioned first the excellence of salah, and that the salah is a what? A light, and that the salah is a light in this world and the next life. The next one he mentioned was from the fundamentals of Islam, from the arkan of Islam.
Charity.
And he said that charity is what? Is a burhan. He mentioned the excellence of yani charity, the fadl of charity, and that yani it is a proof of a person's iman and their truthfulness. And then he mentioned
excellence of patience.
Patience, as sabr. He mentioned the excellence of patience. And then he said, the next one was the last main point of this hadith that a person has to attend to, and that is the Qur'an. Yani al-inayah bil-Qur'an. Yani that a person gives attention to the Qur'an. Learning it, studying it, reciting it, yani acting upon it. Naam, all of that. Then he mentioned a couple more points. Yani, if we can remember, in reference to the Qur'an, he said what? 2 points, he said. Yani, Al-Haf, yani encouragement for a person to give attention to the Qur'an. Yani to learn the Qur'an and to act upon it so that it would be a proof for them. And then he said, and the warning against abandoning the Qur'an and not giving its rights, in which case, you know, in order to prevent, yani, I mean, the person who does that, then it will be a proof against them. And the last thing he said is in reference to the last statement of the hadith, that every person, yani, will go out in the morning, in the beginning of the day, and they would do things which would mean that they would sell their self. Yani they would sell their self to Allah, obedience to Allah, sell their self to shaitan, to do what shaitan orders, and in that case, it would be what? The means of them saving their self or destroying their self. And he said from this statement, there are 2 points. The first of them is the encouragement of doing good deeds. That would be the means of a person saving himself from yani disgrace in this world and punishment in the next life, and the discouragement or warning from doing evil deeds, which would be the cause of a person's destruction. These are some of the points that we discussed last week. Now, awliya of shaitan. That a person who does evil deeds, they will be from the awliya of a shaitan. And this would yani, be the cause of leading them to the punishment in the fire. The hadith that we want to discuss this evening is an extremely lengthy hadith. And for that reason, probably we're not going to make any comments except the comments from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. May Allah protect and preserve him. And there were really some important yani, points that yani, from the other books that we normally take something from, but yani, the time is upon us, yani, we have Isha in front of us. Allahu Akbar. So Alhamdulillah, yani, this hadith is the 24th hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, al-hadith al-rabi wal-ishroon. I'm going to read the hadith from the text from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Qasimi. And there's slightly different wording. I'll try to point out just a couple of places where there's some slightly different wording. So he says, yani the hadith is an Abi Dharr. In our book it said, yani he gave his kunya and yani al-Ghifari, I mean his tribal attribution. An Abi Dharr, yani al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ma rawa anillah. That's how he narrated it, that he's determined that was the most authentic text for this hadith. It came in our book, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ما يروي عن ربه عز وجل. Same meaning, but like slightly different wording. نعم. أنه قال Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi. And we want to note here that this expression, Ya ibadi, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling out to His creatures, to His worshippers, to all of the people. And He's yani saying, yani ten, there are 10 statements here that came in this Hadith Qudsi, which are really, really important, every single one of them. So we want to kind of like pay attention to each one by one, and dwell on it a little bit, and then we're going to look at the Shaykh's brief explanation for each one, and hopefully, inshallah, we'll be able to benefit. Ya Ibadi, first one, number one, Ya Ibadi, O my Ibad, Inni harramtu al-zulm ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharraman, fala tazalamu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the people, to the worshippers, Inni harramtu al-zulm ala nafsi, indeed, certainly, definitely, surely, I have made dhulm, the commission of dhulm, I have made it haram for myself. And Allah does whatever He wills, but He made it haram for Himself. What does that tell us then? If Allah made this haram for Himself, وَجَعَلْتُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا, and I have made it haram, forbidden, for you to do this, yani dhulm, to one another. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So therefore do not, yani commit dhulm against one another. Yani dhulm has been translated by different words. It has several meanings: oppression, injustice, or just generally wrong. Yani don't wrong one another. Don't oppress one another. Don't do injustice to one another. And also, skip, inshallah. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So Allah is saying, do not. This is yani la and nahiya, the la of prohibition. That means that it's haram. So do not. He said, I made it haram amongst you. And then He said, so do not do it. So do not, yani do dhulm to one another. Second one, Ya ibadi, kullukum dhalun. All of you, every single person, no exception, kullukum dhalun. All of you are astray. And the Shaykh has some discussion concerning the meaning of this here. Illa man hadaytuhu, fastahduni ahdikum. All of you are astray, except whom I have guided, except the one whom I have guided, anyone whom I have guided. Therefore, seek guidance from me. And this is also a command, yani fil amr. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to do something, and the scholars of the Sunnah said, yani al amr yaqtadi al wujub. And if there's a command, this indicates that something is obligatory. So Allah is commanding us to seek guidance from Him. He said, seek guidance from me, and I will guide you. The third one, Ya ibadi, kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtuhu fastat'imuni ut'imkum. Oh my ibad, all of you are hungry. Yani nobody has anything to eliminate, to alleviate, to escape from hunger. Everyone is hungry. Yani humans and other than humans. Except the one whom I have given food to, whom I have fed, Allah is saying. Therefore, seek food. Seek to be fed, yani seek that from me, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will feed you. And this is tremendous. And if a person realizes that the hunger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in every creature, He's the one who alleviates it, who eliminates it. He is the one that we seek our sustenance from, and Him alone. The fourth one, Ya ibadi kullukum aarin. إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُهُ فَاسْتَقْصُونِي أَقْصُكُمْ. O my Ibad, all of you are naked, except the one whom I have given clothing to, who I have clothed. Therefore seek clothing from me, and I will clothe you. Every person is in need of clothing, and the point here is what? That these are the, whatever we need in this world, whether it's from the worldly things or from the religious affairs, that we must seek it only from Allah. And whoever has a need, we should ask for it only from Allah. And here, just a quick point, that note that the first of these three things, he said, all of you are astray, all of you are hungry, all of you are naked, except whom I have guided, or I have fed, or I have clothed. Therefore, seek guidance from me, seek food from me, seek clothing from me. The first one is the most important one, guidance. And then he mentions the worldly things, food and clothing and things like this. So this shows us that seeking guidance is more important than seeking food and clothing and shelter. Because as some of the scholars said, our need for guidance is far more great than our need for food and clothing. If a person doesn't have food and clothing, the worst thing is going to happen, they're going to die, everybody's going to die anyway. They lose out in this world. A person doesn't have guidance, they lose out in this world and in the next life. The fifth one. يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ تُخْتِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. O my Ibad, إِنَّكُمْ, indeed all of you are committing sins by night and by day. And I am the one who forgives sins, all of them. Yani anybody who seeks forgiveness from a sin, whatever it might be, and turns back to Allah in repentance, even shirk. If a person repents to Allah while they're living, Allah forgives all sins. Allah doesn't forgive shirk if a person dies upon it. If a person dies upon it without repenting from it. I am the one who forgives all sins. Therefore, seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. Yani Allah is telling us in clear language, I am the one who forgives sins. Seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. And the Prophet ﷺ, and he made us to know that Allah wants us to ask forgiveness. This is one of the tremendous things that a Muslim is in need of. And today, inshallah, we had a khutbah, not here, but elsewhere, that was about this subject of seeking forgiveness and the importance of seeking forgiveness and the an extreme, severe, dire need that a Muslim has to attend to constantly, all the time being engaged in asking Allah forgiveness. If every person is committing sins by day and by night, then we have to be asking for forgiveness day and night. The sixth one, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا دَرِّي or دُرِّي. Yani in our book it has Dhamma, and in this text the Shaykh put Fatha as being the more correct yani text for this hadith, and Allah knows best. يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا دَرِّي فَتَدُرُّونِي وَلَن تَبْلُغُوا نَفَعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي. That all my worshippers, indeed, none of you will ever attain the position of harming me, such that you will be able to harm me. None of you will reach the position of benefiting me. Yani you will never be in a position to benefit me, such that you will benefit me. Yani nobody can harm Allah, nobody can benefit Allah. Allah is al-ghani. He is without need. Nobody can benefit him, and no one can harm him. The seventh one. يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. O my worshippers, O Ibad, if the first of you and the last of you, yani every single human being, وَإِنْسُكُمْ إِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ, the humans and the jinn, if all of them كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ, yani had the righteousness of the most righteous, yani the righteousness that's in the heart of the most righteous person from amongst them, if everybody had that kind of righteousness, that kind of taqwa, it wouldn't increase what is in the mulk of Allah, the kingdom of Allah, at all. It wouldn't increase it at all. Yani the righteousness, the taqwa of the created beings doesn't increase Allah in anything. Allah is without need. Yani, it doesn't benefit Allah in any way. Rather, it benefits the one who has taqwa. Then he said, the eighth one, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَفْجَرِ قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مَا نَقَسَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. I think in our book it had, يَعْنِي رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْكُمْ again. مَا نَقَسَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. Yani, if the first of you and the last of you, the humans and the jinns, all had the corruption of the heart of the most corrupt person from amongst you, that wouldn't decrease, yani, anything from the mulk, the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So that the righteousness of the created being, the human or otherwise, the wickedness, the corruption, yani it doesn't increase, it doesn't decrease Allah's kingdom in any way whatsoever. The ninth one, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ قَامُوا فِي سَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ فَسَأَلُونِي فَأَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ إِنْسَانٍ. In our book it has كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مَسْأَلَتَهُ ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخية إذا أدخل البحر. يعني all my ibad, if the first of you and the last of you and the humans and the jinns all stood in one place and they asked me whatever they wanted to ask, and I gave every one of them what he asked for, this would not decrease what is with me. Allah saying, this would not decrease what is with Allah, except like the needle that's dipped into the yani sea and taken out. What remains on it? The water that remains on it. Yani he's giving that as an example, that if he gave everybody, every human and jinn, what they asked for, it wouldn't decrease what is with him, except like the needle that's dipped into the sea, how it decreases the water of the sea. What does it decrease the water of the sea by? Nothing at all. And the tenth, he says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْسِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا فَمَنْ وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. رواه مسلم. The tenth one, يعني is the any culmination of this hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the ibad that indeed it is no more than innama hiya a'malukum, it is your deeds, no more than that. I am counting them, enumerating them for you. Allah is keeping a record of it for you, because Allah has recorded everything, even though the human being forgets. Then I, yani, give you, compensate you for that, good for good or other than that. So whoever finds khair, then he must praise Allah for that khair. And whoever finds other than that, then he definitely, certainly, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ, definitely, he must not blame anyone except himself. And I think to me, yani, every part of this hadith is important, but yani, in terms of ourselves, our practical application, this is what we have to think about. That what we are doing is being yani, recorded, and we will be called to account for it. No more than what we have done. It's only going to be what we have sent ahead ourselves. It is being recorded. We will be called to account for it. Whoever finds good, thank Allah, praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, there's no one to blame but your own self. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Badr Hafidhullah, in the explanation of this hadith, and he mentions it in 10 points. The 10th point is the benefits, the fawaid that are taken from this hadith, and those fawaid are also yani 13 points. But in any case, the first 9 points yani is his explanation of the hadith, and the last one is the benefits. And they are yani summarized, and still yani it's lengthy. Point number one deals with the discussion concerning what is hadith Qudsi. Yani the saying of Allah the saying of the narrator of the hadith, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه, yani that this is coming from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning that which he narrates from his Rabb. That which he narrates from his Rabb, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from what is called al-hadith al-qudsiyya. And this expression is from the expressions that are used to define or to describe yani this type of hadith, al-hadith qudsi. This is from the expressions that precede the mention of a hadith qudsi. Yani this is one of the expressions that's used yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning that which he narrates from his Rabb. And the like of it is another expression that is also used for hadith Qudsi. قال الله عز وجل فيما يرويه عنه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Allah said, the Mighty and the Majestic, concerning that which is narrated from him by his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The scholars have given different definitions of hadith Qudsi, and we're not going to go into the details of that, a little bit technical, and we have discussed it previously in the past at one point. The Shaykh, he gives a definition. His definition, he says, Al-Hadith Qudsi huwa ma yusniduhu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila rabbihi ta'ala wa yudifuhu ilayhi wa yastamilu ala dhamair at-takallum allati ta'udu ilayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the definitions of hadith Qudsi. Yani a clear definition that I think there's no way to contradict, even though there are other definitions that deal with different aspects. Shaykh says hadith Qudsi is that which is yani yusniduhu rasul, yani the isnad of it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his Rabb. وَيُضِيفُهُ إِلَيْهِ, and he attributes it, he ascribes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the isnad from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back to Allah, and he attributes it yani as being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it consists of ضمائر التكلم, yani pronouns for the speaker. Yani the one who is speaking, when he says I and me and my, those pronouns go back to Allah. I have yani made dhulm haram. My ibadi. These pronouns go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah is the one who's saying ibadi, my ibad. Nobody else can say that. Yani the creatures are the ibad of Allah alone. So this is the definition that he gave. Number one, that the isnad of it goes back to Allah. And number two, that he attributes it. Yani he ascribes it to Allah. And he says that it's the speech of Allah, and the pronouns of the speaker yani are pronouns that go back to Allah. When it says I, it means Allah. When it says me, it says it means Allah. When it says my, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number two, the Shaykh talks about the prohibition of dhulm. And here I just want to say that this is the second point, yani, or this is the first point of the hadith. It's really the first point of the hadith. And the fact that it's the first point of this hadith Qudsi shows its importance. The prohibition of dhulm. Shaykh says that this statement, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, indeed I have prohibited dhulm for myself and I have made it prohibited amongst you, so do not do it. Don't do dhulm to one another. Al-dhulm wada'a shay fi ghayri mawdi'i. He says the definition of dhulm is putting something in other than its place. Putting it in other than its place. And a clear example here, the most important example here, is the dhulm, the shirk. Yani offering worship to other than Allah, putting it in other than its place. This is dhulm. And there's different types of dhulm. There's dhulm between the people and Allah, that's shirk. And there's dhulm of a person against his own self, committing sins and acts of disobedience. And there's dhulm between a person and other people, and that's violating their rights, their wealth, their honor, their property, their blood, and so on. So there are different types of dhulm, but the most important, the worst type of dhulm is the dhulm, that shirk, that a person offers worship or whatever are from the exclusive rights of Allah alone to other than Allah. Offering that to other than Allah. A dhulm is putting something in other than its place. Here the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنَعَهَا مِنْهُ. Yani Allah has made it, dhulm, haram for himself, and he has prohibited himself from doing it. He made it haram for himself, and then he restrained, prohibited himself from doing it. Even though he has the ability to do it. Even though he has the ability to do everything. But, yani, dhulm will never occur. Will never, yani, be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِكَمَالِ عَدْلِهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why will Allah never do dhulm? Because of the perfection of his adl, his justice. Doesn't allow him to do injustice. Doesn't allow him to do injustice. Because of the perfection of his adl. The Shaykh mentions some ayahs from the Quran. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْإِبَادِ. Yani Allah doesn't intend ظُلْم. He doesn't want ظُلْم for al-ibad, the people. And another ayah, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And your Rabb is not one who does ظُلْم to the yani abid, to the people, to the yani slaves. And in another ayah he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. That indeed Allah does not do any injustice whatsoever to the people. And in another ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. That Allah doesn't do justice even in the amount of a dharra. A dharra. And a dharra is the smallest thing that we can imagine. Some people today translate it as the atom. Yani, and in the past, the scholars of the past said that a dharra is an ant. A small ant As Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says in Fath al-Bari, a small ant, the weight of 100 of them is less than the weight of a mustard seed. Yani, Allah doesn't do any injustice whatsoever, yani, at all. And then he mentions the last ayat, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ هُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا حَظْمًا. That whoever does salihat, righteous deeds, and he is a believer, and this is a point here, right? A qaid. Whoever does righteous deeds, and he is a believer. Person who does salat or zakat or whatever, and they don't have iman, no benefit from that. But the one who does righteous deeds, and that person has iman, then he has no need, no reason to fear dhulman wala hadman. The scholars of tafsir say, or the sheikh says here, a لا يخاف نقصا من حسناته ولا زيادة من سيئاته أو تحميله سيئات غيره. يعني, so that person should not fear any decrease in their hasanat, that they're going to lose some of their hasanat, nor should they fear any increase in their sayyat, that they're going to be given some evil deeds that they didn't do, nor they're going to be required to carry or be responsible for the evil deeds of other than them. And here is the qaida, the Shaykh mentions, وَنَفْيُ الظُّلْمِ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ مُتَضَمِّنٌ إِثْبَاتِ كَمَالِ عَدْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. Yani, that the negation of dhulm from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayats, where Allah is saying He doesn't do any dhulm, that negation of dhulm contains within it, implies the affirmation of the perfection of His adl. Yani, مُتَضَمِّنًا إِثْبَاتْ كَمَالِ عَدْلِهِ. The negation of dhulm is the affirmation. It contains within it, it implies the affirmation of Allah, of the perfection of Allah's justice. And this is a rule, yani, that the scholars mention concerning, especially the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, that there's no negation in the Qur'an. Nothing is negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Negation by itself isn't, yani, anything great. But there's no negation that comes in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that it implies its opposite, yani the perfection of the opposite of that. So the negation of dhulm implies the perfection of justice, Allah's justice. Qala ibn Rajab fi Jami' Ulum al-Hikam, second volume, 36th page. The fact that Allah created the actions of the ibad, yani kawnuhu khalaqa af'al al-ibad wa fiha dhulm. لا يقتضي وصفه بالظلم سبحانه وتعالى. يعني, this is also an important point. Like, try to quickly, يعني, get through it. يعني, Allah is the creator of everything. There's no two creators. Allah is the creator of everything. Everything that exists in the universe, Allah is the creator of it. Here, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, the fact that Allah created the actions of the human beings, Allah created the human beings, their actions, their characteristics, and everything. The fact that He created the actions, and from amongst the actions is dhulm. This does not necessitate describing Allah with dhulm. Just as كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا يُوصَفْ بِسَائِرْ الْقَبَائِ الَّتِي يَفْعَلُهَا الْإِبَادِ وَهِيَ خَلْقُهُ وَتَدْبِيرُهُ. Yani, just as Allah is not described with the other filthy actions that the human beings do, and they are also His creation, and they are also that which He decreed. So likewise, Allah is not described with the dhulm that they do. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُوصَفْ إِلَّا بِأَفْعَالِهِ لَا يُوصَفْ بِأَفْعَالِ الْإِبَادِ فَإِنَّ أَفْعَالِ عِبَادِهِ مَخْلُوقَاتُهُ وَمَفْعُولَاتُهُ وَهُوَ لَا يُوصَفْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْهَا إِنَّمَا يُوصَفْ بِمَا قَامَ بِهِ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَالَمُ. Ibn Rajab says here that Allah is only described with His actions. He is not described with the actions of the ibad. For indeed, the actions of the ibad are makhluqatuhu wa maf'ulatuhu. Yani, the actions of the ibad are, yani, what? Yani, Allah created them. He didn't do those actions. And they are the maf'ulat, yani, the effect of His, yani, decree. Yani, Allah decrees something, and this is the, yani, what happens as a result of that. But the actions of the human being are their own actions, and they are responsible for them. He is not described with anything from the actions of the human beings. Rather, He is only described with that which, yani, is from what He has done, yani, His own descriptions and His own actions, and Allah knows best. The Shaykh closes this point by saying, indeed Allah the Most High has prohibited his servants from doing dhulm. Therefore, no one must do dhulm to himself or to anyone else. Point number three, yani, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ibadi kullukum dhalun, yani, every one of you is astray except the one who I have guided. Therefore, this is a command, seek guidance from me and I will guide you. قال ابن رجب رحمه الله في جامع العلوم والحكم قد ظن بعضهم أنه معارض لحديث إياد ابن حمار عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يقول الله عز وجل خلقت عبادي حنفاء في رواية مسلمين فاجتالتهم الشياطين. Here the Shaykh Ibn Rajab, Imam Ibn Rajab, is saying that some of the people imagine that this hadith, that all of you are astray except whom I have guided, that it is in contradiction to the hadith of Iyad ibn Hima radiallahu anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah, yani, in another hadith Qudsi, said, I have created my ibad hunafa, I have created my worshippers, yani, hunafa, yani, upright, upright, yani, in another narration, yani, in submission as Muslims. And then the shayateen caused them to deviate or to go astray. Some people thought that these two hadith are contradictory. In one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of you are astray except whom I have guided. And in this hadith, he's saying, he created the people, yani, upon that which is upright. And he created the people, yani Muslimin, as Muslims in submission. And then the shayateen caused them to go astray. The Shaykh says, there's no contradiction, for indeed Allah created the human beings. He made their nature, their fitrah, to be, yani, qabool al-Islam, well, mail ilayhi dun ghayrihi. Yani, it's the fitrah of the human being that they accept Islam. Yani, it's their nature to accept submission to Allah, and that they are inclined to it, to the exclusion of anything else. They are not inclined to shirk or kufr or anything other than, yani, submission to Allah and tawheed. So Allah created the human beings like this, their fitrah. And He prepared them for this. Yani, He made them fit to receive it, have the ability to receive it. However, it is necessary that a person must learn Islam, yani, actively learn Islam. Yani, it's one thing to have the nature to receive it and the ability to do it, then you gotta learn Islam. And if a person comes to this world, they don't know anything. They have to learn. So he says the people have to, so the nature of the human being is to accept Islam. It's inclined towards that. But then they have to learn. And that's what he means by everyone is, yani, bald, unless Allah guides them. He sends somebody to teach them Islam, to teach them Iman, to teach them a Tawheed. The Shaykh says here that every human being has that ability, that nature to accept Islam. However, it is of necessity that a person be taught Islam in reality, and that before learning, a person is jahil. And that's what's meant by Baal. Yani, a person doesn't have knowledge. He doesn't know anything. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. That Allah brought you out of the wombs of your mothers, you didn't know anything. And you had to learn Islam. And somebody had to teach you Islam, had to teach you, if you were born in a Muslim family, somebody had to teach you salah, they had to teach you zakat, teach you Quran. You had to learn Islam. You didn't come out knowing that. Even though the nature of the human being is already receptive to it. It's created to be inclined to it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and then Allah said concerning His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa wajadaka dhalan fahada, and I found you dhal, and yani, and then he guided, yani, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. What is intended here by yani Allah saying He found the Prophet dhal? He said al murad ma wajadaka غَيْرَ عَالِمْ بِمَا عَلَّمَكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Yani, that when Allah, yani, decided, yani, when He missioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know anything about this, and then Allah, yani, that's what He means by Baal, that he was, yani, he didn't have knowledge. He was غَيْرَ عَالِمْ. He didn't have knowledge of that which Allah was going to teach him from the book. يعني الكتاب والحكمة يعني الكتاب والسنة. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. يعني, and like this we have revealed to you روحاً من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. You didn't know what is the book and you didn't know what is إيمان. What is the, I didn't look up the tafsir of here, روح, in this ayah.
الوحي.
نعم. أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا, يعني وحي from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني from that which Allah has revealed to him, and you didn't know before that the book, nor did you know الإيمان. فالإنسان, so the human being is born, يعني their nature, their picture is يعني acceptance of the truth. So if Allah guides a person, he يعني facilitates for that person someone to teach him the right guidance, al-huda. So that person becomes guided in reality after they had already been guided, يعني they had the, and they were receptive to the guidance. Now they actually have been guided. And if Allah intends to leave a person, to abandon them to theirself because he knows that they're not worthy of the guidance, then he will send to them someone who will teach them that which would change their fitrah. Change their fitrah to other than what Allah created them upon. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودْ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child that's born is born upon the fitrah. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ. And then it is their parents that make them into a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshipper. So the Shaykh says in this point here is the command, Al-Amru bi-su'ali Allahi al-Hidayah. And in this statement of the hadith, we are commanded to ask Allah for guidance, for right guidance. وَهِيَ تَشْمَلُ هِدَايَةِ الدَّلَالَةِ وَالْإِرْشَادِ وَهِدَايَةِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالتَّسْدِيدِ. And this hidayah that we are asking for includes two types of guidance, hidayat al-dilala wal-irshad, yani the hidayah that is directing somebody, guiding somebody, showing them the way. And it also includes that we are asking Allah for hidayat al-tawfiq wal-tasdeed, yani the guidance that means here that Allah gives you the ability, the success to do what's right and to be on track, yani to hit the mark. So there's two types of guidance. One of them is showing somebody the way, teaching them, and the other one, yani, and the Prophet ﷺ and the people of yani of right guidance can show somebody the way, can teach them. But hidayat al-tawfiq with tasdeed is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one who gives a person the ability to apply that, to act upon it, and to be yani on track. Then the Shaykh says, وَحَاجَةُ al-ibad إِلَى الْهِدَايَةِ أشد من حاجتهم إلى الطعام والشراب. Indeed, the need of the people to right guidance is more severe than the need for food and drink. And it has come in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. يعني the greatest dua for the most important thing that a person can be in need of, right guidance. And as we heard in the khutbah today, and I don't think you people were here with us, Allahu Akbar. But as I heard in the khutbah today, in another place, yani, that this is Allah has commanded us to supplicate with this dua at least 17 times a day, in every rak'ah of every prayer. Yani, that's just counting the rak'ah of the obligatory prayers. That Allah has commanded us to ask for al-hidayah. Both types of hidayah. It which shows the importance of this dua, the dua. And this thing, that this is the most important thing that a person should ask for. So the people are asking Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Shaykh says, يعني إحدنا الصراط المستقيم فهم يسألون الله عز وجل أن يثبتهم على الهداية الحاصلة وأن يزيدهم هدى على هدى. So the people are asking Allah for two things, to make them firm upon the hidayah that they already have. They're Muslims, right? We're Muslims reciting Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. We're already guided, right? To make us firm, not to go astray from the guidance that we have already achieved, and then to increase us with more guidance on top of that guidance. The fourth point, the Shaykh says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my worshippers, all of you are hungry, except the one who I have fed. Therefore, you must ask, yani, for food from me, and I will feed you. And he goes on to the second, to the two, yani, two statements here. And all my worshippers, all of you are naked, except the one who I have clothed. Therefore, you must ask me for clothing, and I will clothe you. The Shaykh says, in these two sentences, is bayan shiddat al-iftiqar al-ibad ila rabbihim wa hajatihim ilayhi fi tahsil arzaqihim wa kiswatihim. Wa anna alayhim an yas'aluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala ta'amum wa kiswatahum. Yani the Shaykh is saying in these two statements, that all of you are hungry and all of you are naked except the one who are fed or clothed, he said, this is a clarification of shiddat al-iftiqar al-ibad ila rabbihim. Yani the severity of the, yani, state of need, of poverty of the worshippers for their Rabb. The severity of the person's need, the people's need of their Rabb. And their need, yani, from him in order to achieve or to obtain or acquire their provisions and their clothing and for that matter everything that we need in this world. And that he said also in these two statements is that it is incumbent upon the people to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their food and their clothing. Yani in the same way that we ask Allah for right guidance every day, how many times a day? Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Well, also, it is important for us to ask Allah for our food and our clothing and our drink and all of our needs and not imagine that we do that independently. Because Allah says here, nobody, everybody is hungry except the one that I fed. Therefore ask me and I will feed you. Don't imagine that I'm going out working hard and I'm doing this on my own. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Nobody will get anything when they go out and work every day unless Allah allows that to happen. Unless Allah facilitates that matter. Know that it is all from Allah and we must ask Him for it. We must. It is obligatory upon us. Point number five, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my worshippers, innakum tukhti'una billayl wa nahar. That you are committing sins by night and by day. And I am the one who forgives all sins. Therefore, I order you to seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. أوجب الله عز وجل على العباد امتثال الأوامر واجتناب المنهيات والعباد يحصل منهم التقصير في أداء ما وجب عليهم والوقوف في شيء مما نهوا عنه. That Allah has made obligatory upon the people to comply with His commands and to avoid the things that He has prohibited. Nonetheless, the people, everyone, there will occur from them some shortcoming in fulfilling the obligatory duties and sometimes they will fall into something of what Allah has prohibited. No escape from that. Therefore, tariqu as-salama min dhalika, what is the way to be saved, to have success or safety or security from falling short in fulfilling some of the obligatory duties or from having engaged in some of the prohibited things? He said, tariq as-salama, the way to be saved from that is number one, rujuhum ila Allah, turning back to Allah. And after committing sins or falling short in the obligatory duties, rujuh ila Allah. Number two, tawbatuhum min dhunubihim, making tawbah from one's sins. Making tawbah from one's sins. Stopping what one is doing, making firm resolve not to go back to it again, and if it involves the rights of the people, correcting them, and what? Asking forgiveness and stopping and feeling remorse. And feeling remorse for what one has done. And he's stopping it, resolving not to do it, and feeling bad about doing it. And if a person says, you know, I used to do this, you know, I used to do that, and I used to do the other, that was really, we're really having a good time. I don't do it anymore, but yani, a person has to have remorse about that. Not praise and brag and enjoy talking about the sins and the corruption and the filth and the evil that a person used to do before Allah guided them. And that includes the people who were born in Muslim families and the people who are not. Because all of us have gone off track for some time, at some point, even if it's just a little bit. And Allah, yani, brought us back. The Shaykh, he says, turning back to Allah, making tawbah, وَالسُّؤَالُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَغْفِرَهَا لَهُمْ. And then asking Allah to forgive those shortcomings or those sins that a person has committed, to forgive them. Note that the Shaykh mentions here at-tawbah and al-istighfar. وفي الحديث and in the hadith the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون حديث حسن أخرجه ابن ماجه وغيره. يعني in the hadith it came that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that every human being commits sins and the best of the people who commit sins are those who repent frequently, التوابون, يعني a lot of repentance. This hadith is Hassan, reported by Ibn Majah and others. Point number six, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in reference to the fact that yani nobody can bring benefit or cause harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The saying of Allah, Ya ibadi, O worshippers, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا دُرِّي or دَرِّي فَتَدُرُّونِي. You will never reach the point of yani being able to harm me, such that you will harm me, you will never reach the point of being able to benefit me, so that you will benefit me. قال ابن رجب رحمه الله يعني أن العباد لا يقبرون أن يوصلوا نفعا ولا ضرا. يعني the human beings are not able, they don't have the ability to يعني bring any benefit or any harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For إن الله تعالى في نفسه غني حميد. Indeed Allah in himself, he is غني, he is حميد, and he has no need of anything and he is praiseworthy. لا حاجة له بطاعات العباد. He has no need of the acts of obedience that people do. وَلَا يَعُوذُ نَفْوَهَا إِلَيْهِ. And the benefit of the acts of obedience that people do does not go back to Allah. إِنَّمَا هُمْ يَنْتَفِعُونَ بِهَا. Rather, the people who do it, they are themselves benefiting from it, and they do not cause any harm to Allah by their ma'asi, their sins. Rather, the harm of their sins is the harm to their own self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَدُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Don't be sad about those who hasten in kufr. Indeed, they will never be able to harm Allah at all. In the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَدُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And whoever turns back on their heels, they will never harm Allah at all. Yani nobody can harm Allah, give benefit to Allah. Point number seven. What time is the Iqamah? 8:45? Huh? 8:45? Oh, mashallah. La bas. We're going to stop in just, yani, what time is it now? 8:40?
8:37.
8 minutes.
You can take
another 10 minutes. Nope. Nope. Inshallah. قدر الله ما شاء فعل. Point number seven, the Shaykh says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my worshippers, if the first of you and the last of you, the human and the jinns, all had the righteousness that's in the heart of the most righteous one from amongst you, this would not increase my mulk in any way whatsoever. And along with that, he said, the eighth statement, O my worshippers, if the first of you and the last of you, the human and the jinns, were all yani having the unrighteousness or the corruption of the heart of the most corrupt person from amongst you, this wouldn't decrease my mulk in any way whatsoever. The Shaykh says, في هاتين الجملتين بيان كمال ملك الله عز وجل وكمال غناه عن خلقه وأن العباد لو كانوا كلهم على أتقى ما يكون أو أفجر ما يكون لم يزد ذلك في ملكه شيئا ولم ينقص شيئا وأن التقوى كل إنسان إنما تكون نافية لذلك المتقي وفجور كله كل بفجور كل فاجر إنما يكون ضرره عليه. يعني in these two sentences is the clarification of the perfection of Allah's sovereignty and the perfection of Allah's يعني being free of need of any one of His creation. He doesn't have any need whatsoever, anything in the creation, and that the people, if all of them يعني had يعني على أتقى ما يكون had the most righteousness in their hearts, or the most corruption in their hearts, this wouldn't yani increase the mulk of Allah in any way or decrease it in any way, and that the taqwa, the righteousness, the piety of every human being, it only benefits that person who has that taqwa, and the corruption of every corrupt person, it only harms that person who's doing the corruption. Point number eight, the Shaykh says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my worshippers, if the first of you and the last of you and the human and the jinn of you were all standing in one place, فَسَأَلُونِي, and they all asked me, فَأَتَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مَسْأَلَةٍ And I gave every one of them, every human being, what he asked for, this wouldn't decrease. يعني ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخية إذا أدخل البحر. This wouldn't decrease what is with me, what Allah possessed, the possessions of Allah, the treasures of Allah wouldn't be decreased except as يعني the decrease of the ocean, the water of the ocean, if a needle was dipped into it and taken back out. The Shaykh says, هذا يدل, this example, this method, يدل على كمال غنى الله سبحانه وتعالى وافتقار عباده إليه. This indicates the perfection of Allah's state of being free of need of anything or anyone, and the يعني severity of the need of the worshippers to Allah. يعني Allah is in need of no one, everyone is in need of Him, and that the jinn and the human beings, if they all gather together, the first and the last of them, and everyone asks for whatever they wanted, and Allah gave them what they wanted, this wouldn't decrease from what is with Him, except like the decrease of the water of the ocean by a needle being dipped into it. Well, ma'ana, and the meaning of this example, or this method, يعني the meaning of it, the Shaykh said, والمعنى أنه لا يحصل نقص أصلا لأن ما يعلق بالمخية بالمخية وهو الإبرة من الماء لا يعتبر شيئا لا في الوزن ولا في رأي العين. The meaning of this example here is that there's no decrease. If Allah gave every human and jinn from the first to the last whatever they asked for, it wouldn't be decreased at all. And this example of dipping the needle in the ocean and coming back out, how much water it's going to take out, how much is going to decrease the ocean, the real meaning of it is that Allah, what He possessed, would not be decreased at all. Nothing whatsoever, because what comes out with that needle of water from the ocean when it's dipped in and comes back out, He said, لا يعتبر شيئا. It's not considered to be anything. It doesn't weigh anything and you don't see anything. It's nothing. 2 minutes remaining. Point number 9. We finished the explanation at least. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my worshippers, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهُ. That, O worshippers, it is indeed only your deeds which I am counting for you. And then I'm going to compensate you for those deeds that you have done. So whoever finds khair, then he must praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, then he should not, absolutely, should not blame anyone except his own self. It's only your deeds. So the people in this world are mukallafuna bil-imtithal al-awamir wa-ijtinab al-nawahi. Everyone is made responsible, when they reach the age of responsibility, to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid the prohibitions. وكل ما يحصل منهم من عمل الخير من عمل خيرا أو شرا فهو محسن عليهم. So every person, يعني, is responsible to fulfill the commands and avoid the prohibitions, and everything that occurs from a person of their deeds, of their actions, whether it's good or bad, it will be accounted for. وسيجدوا كل أمامه ما قدم. Every person will find in front of them what they sent ahead. What they sent ahead. If it was khair, then they will find khair, and if it was evil, they will find evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. يعني whoever does a deed that is good, even the weight of a ذرة, they will see it. Meaning it will be there and Allah will reward them for it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does even the amount of a ذرة of evil, they will see it. It will be there and they will be called to account for it. So whoever, فَمَنْ قَدَّمَ خَيْرًا وَجَدَ ثَوَابَهُ أَمَامُهُ. Whoever sent ahead good, they will find the thawab, the reward in front of them. وَالثَّوَابُ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. And this reward is the, yani, is the favor of Allah to His servant. It's not something that you are necessarily deserving of or have a right to. It's the favor of Allah. It's Allah's fadl upon you. وَفِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا هُوَ مِنْ تَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And even the good that you did in this world, Allah is the one who gave you the ability to do it. فَلَهُ الْفَضْلُ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ. So the fadl belongs to Allah. Yani, first and last. First, He gave you the ability to do good. And secondly, out of His mercy and His favor, He gave you a reward for it. So whoever found in front of him غَيْرَ خَيْرٌ, other than good, فإنما أوتي العبد من قبل نفسه ومعصيته لربه وجنايته على نفسه. So whoever finds other than khair, then this has come to the person from his own self, from his disobedience to his Rabb, and those yani crimes that he committed against his own self. فَإِذَا وَجِدَ أَمَامُهُ عَذَابٌ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. So whoever finds the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then he must not blame anyone except himself. The Shaykh brings, yani from the benefits of this hadith, 13 points. Our time is up. We're going to stop here, inshallah, next week. Hadith number 25, we're going to begin that hadith with the benefits from this hadith, بِإِذْنِ ta'ala. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.